Today is Saturday, January 25th, 2020, and this...
The dancing water fountains outside the Bellagio Hotel are impressive. And inside this luxury casino hotel is a well-known destination for Las Vegas tourists.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 723.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. And how are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. We're going to be talking about a lot of interesting things this evening.
Yay.
I'm going to turn you up a little bit here.
Okay.
Okay.
You sound a little low, too.
I do?
Yeah. Oh, you're better now. Yeah. You did earlier, though.
Okay. Well, shit.
We're professionals here.
All right. So, good thing we had rehearsal.
Uh-huh.
We have some... news. We've got a ton of stuff from our trip to talk about, and we'll see where else the evening takes us.
We'll go dancing in the dark, walking in the park, and reminiscing.
Sure, let's do that. Okay, let's start with our beloved Patreon patrons. This podcast is listener-supported by incredible, amazing listeners, including Scott Higgins, Steve Mick. I wonder if I cut off part of his name, or if that's how he wanted it. Steve something that starts with Mick, KD, KTNTX, Simon St. Regis, Crystal Ann Curry, and Kirby. Thank you to these
and all
of our Patreon patrons. If you'd like to support the show on a monthly basis, we throw some bonus stuff your way once in a while to say thank you. You can visit patreon.com/500 for all the information, and we do appreciate your support of the podcast. Got some ideas bouncing around in my head related to some new Patreon stuff.
Ooh, good.
And I shot some video of a few videos while you're in Vegas, too, that will be going online over the next weeks and months. So that's fun, too. Let's see. Let's start with some news. We have an item that just broke within the last couple hours. The Review Journal is reporting that another nightclub is closing. It is 1OAK at Mirage.
One Oak.
It's been around for a while. It's going away. MGM Resorts issued a statement confirming it would be going away. It sounds like, at least from the Review Journal write-up, that it's not going to be a nightclub anymore. It'll be continue to be some sort of entertainment venue. And in fact, it's closing on March 28th. Matt Goss will perform there at least through the end of April, and we'll see what else they have in mind for that space. But we seem to be in kind of a transition time right now for nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
We've been seeing some changes. So the place that we reviewed last week, of course, Mayfair replaced Hyde, which was a nightclub. Chaos failed miserably. That's another one. And now this is another one that's closing. And sounds like it will probably be some other form of entertainment other than a traditional nightclub.
Did you say there was an article on Billboard about Chaos?
Yeah, somebody posted it on the Facebook group, and it was really interesting. It was about the fall of Chaos and how...
The fall of Chaos.
How that club... It's amazing reading this article. It gets in depth as far as the nightclub or promoters that came over from Wynn to run it and the amount that they spent on... performers, specifically Marshmello, the DJ, and how if somebody had just done the math on that contract, it would have been evident right away that there
wasn't sustainable.
No possible way you could make money on that nightclub with a contract that large. Like the amount of money that would have needed to have been spent every single day that it was open per however many people they fit in that place just wasn't sustainable. So it's very strange. And then there's the whole thing where one of the guys who had moved from Wynn to Palms, emailed himself the Marshmallow contract, but mm-hmm. he accidentally used his old Wynn address. Oops. And from that, they realized that he may be using information from when he was at Wynn mm-hmm. that would have been confidential. So there's been some lawsuits, and that led to several people getting fired or leaving. And
that sounds like a mess.
It is a mess.
Sounds like chaos.
It was, yes, it was an appropriately named venue, apparently. So, yeah, so we'll see what they have in mind at Mirage for 108K. You know, maybe they'll do another sort of dinner entertainment concept like Mayfair, if that is working for them, or perhaps they have something else in mind just to use it for an entertainment space without mm-hmm. it being that kind of thing. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it, and I'm sure we'll be discussing it more as plans are announced for that space. Or it might just sit empty for a while. I mean, Bellagio's bank space has been there. They use it for private events, but that's been empty for quite a while now, other than, like I said, for private events. And
did that used to be Caramel?
No.
Which one used to be Caramel? Lily?
Lily, I think.
Okay, the one that you were denied entry to.
Well, I was denied entry to the one that's bank.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That was something else. And then we went over to Caramel.
Okay.
And was again refused entry.
Okay, okay.
15 years ago, and we're still talking about that momentous mm-hmm. evening with our friend Mikey. No, you'll be able to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Famous last words. Still bitter. All right. So that's going on. We have an updated timeline on Drew Las Vegas, the former Fontainebleau, the mega resort that has been standing unused for so many years. The owner of that property, Steve Witkoff, went through a hearing with the Gaming Commission, and he also gave an interview to the Review Journal this week to discuss that property a little bit more. He said there are already hundreds of workers inside the property doing things. Not sure if I buy the hundreds number, mm-hmm. but apparently there are things happening inside. He is working to close a deal on a $2 billion construction loan to complete the project and thinks that's going to be approved by late February or early March. And then beginning in June, there'd be a major ramp up of construction with up to 2,000 construction workers on the site, plugging away to get that thing done. And the completion date is now planned for November 2022. So,
did you say 2022?
2022.
Okay.
22 hours to go. I want to stay at the Drew. No, not doing anything for you? My little song?
I admire the effort. But,
thanks.
Yeah.
I'm quite a songster. So that is the plan. We will see if they are able to make this thing happen. It's hard to get excited when it's had so many starts and stops, mm-hmm. or mainly stops. I'm hopeful. But we'll see.
Hopeful but cautious.
Yes. It would be really fun to have something. So we're going to have Circa. If everything stays on schedule of what has been announced, we'd have Circa at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have Resorts World at the end of next year. And mm-hmm. then Drew Las Vegas at the end of 2022. Having three new major resorts in 3 years.
That would be
glorious. That'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that at least somewhat close to that schedule, these things happen. We shall see. In the meantime, lots to talk about related to those projects. All right. We have some entertainment news. In fact, we're going to talk about some Circa news in a couple minutes. But before that, we have one other item to get to. We have another residency announcement this week. We had a couple last week. You might remember we had the Scorpions. Actually, just Scorpions. There's no the. But Scorpions and Terry Bradshaw.
Yep.
And this week, we have some pop songsters that announced a run.
We go together. Better than birds of a feather, you and me.
Oops. Wrong direction on the volume there. Or is it?
That was subliminal.
Heat in December when you found me. I've been dancing on top of cars and stumbling out of bars. I follow you through the dark, can't get enough. You're the medicine and the pain, the tattoo inside my brain. And maybe you know it's obvious. I'm a sucker for you.
You are listening to the music of the Jonas Brothers. So they're going to be doing a bunch of shows. They're going to be doing 9 shows, which is that is the 500 limit. That's the minimum for a residency where we discuss it and generally play music clips on the
and
show.
And you might have counted the dates and swore out loud.
I'm not a big fan of the Jonas Brothers.
I don't know that much about them. I do like the song.
It's okay. I did find, as I was pulling clips, I found a song of theirs that is really hooky that I like.
Yeah.
I'll play that in a minute, but so we're listening to them. If you're not familiar with the Jonas Brothers, it is three brothers. They are actual brothers. It's not just their band name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Nick and the lesser Jonases. Is that a quick, correct assessment of the Jonas Brothers?
Nick, Kevin, and Joe.
But really, Nick and the lesser Jonases. All boy bands have an unofficial ranking of the usefulness of the members.
Uh-huh.
And I'm putting forth that Nick is the most useful of the Jonases.
And then I would say Joe.
Joe's the really ugly one, right?
He's had a fairly high profile. Kevin is the one who got married and fell off the face of the earth for a few years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know they broke up for 6 years while Nick went and did some other stuff and the others didn't really do much.
And Joe, wasn't he in
I know.
Dance?
Oh,
Dance,
that's right, Dunst, that's right.
D-N-C-E.
Okay, this
Cake
is a song.
By the Ocean.
This is a song I found that is super hooky.
Ooh.
One day when I came home at lunchtime, I heard a funny noise.
Sounds like a JoJo Siwa song.
Oh my god. This is older. I can. Yeah.
There's some soundtrack. Kind of poppy. See? Okay, so Jonas Brothers are going to be doing 9 shows at Park Theater from April 1st to the 18th. Pre-sales begin on Monday. Regular on sale is on Friday of this week. Although, if you really want tickets, pre-sale, you know, it's easy to find those codes.
Mm-hmm.
So, go to it. So, you're ranking them Nick, Joe, Kevin in terms of usefulness?
Yes.
Okay. Because, more from our era, New Kids on the Block, I would go Jordan, number one.
Oh, yeah.
Donnie. Or Joe.
Or would you say Joey? I demote Donnie because of his wife.
Yeah, but that he wasn't married to her then.
I know.
Okay, so we'll go Joe and Donnie tied for 2.
It's like how I retroactively have less tolerance for the Police because of Sting and Sting's
antics. We're
going
to go Jonathan, and then
Danny
is definitely the least useful member of New Kids on the Block.
We can have lots of fun.
Which is saying a lot because Jonathan served very little purpose either. I know way too much about New Kids on the Block.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's Jonas Brothers. I'll do one more.
I'm feeling so cool.
They've been around for a while. They've got a lot of hits. They'll have no trouble selling well for 9 shows.
Oh, yeah. They have a pretty loyal fan base.
They do.
And they've got some current hits, so I think this will do very well.
I don't know. Whenever I have music videos on, they come on. I'm like, man, I could do without the Jonas Brothers.
You're that about a lot of stuff, though.
That's one that I always turn the channel on, though.
Members of One Direction.
Those two. Same. Their songs just aren't that good. Most of their songs are garbage. Not garbage. They're just not memorable.
One Direction solo songs aren't memorable?
Memorably bad.
Disagree with you there, friend.
All right. There you go. So that's happening at Park Theater.
Although we did listen to the new Harry Styles album together and came to the same conclusion that it is not hooky enough.
Yeah, I don't know. That's exactly my wording. But yes.
We've shared a lot about ourselves this evening.
Well, let's continue. So we've got a big announcement from Circa this week. The full restaurant lineup for that soon-to-be new property has been announced, and we're going to give you the rundown here. You've probably already heard it if you've been paying attention to Vegas stuff, but just we'll give you our thoughts because that's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, there's one that is an existing restaurant. It's an existing venue, so there's not a lot to say about that. The food truck Project Barbecue will continue to be a part of that property.
It's Yay.
Currently, as construction goes on, it continues to serve people on Fremont Street. Some good, some decent barbecue there. I like it. It's a nice, quick, when we're hungry and
mm-hmm.
are in that area.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Oh, we need food now. Project Barbecue is a good choice. Now, I know that there are barbecue aficionados who, you know, they're going to have their thing. But that's the thing about barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many different styles
it's
and stuff.
It's kind of like craft beer.
It's kind of like everything now.
Yeah.
And you know what? So there was a thing on the Facebook group, which I know you, by the way, congratulations. It is almost the end of January, and you have so far kept your New Year's resolution not to go on Facebook.
Yes.
Not just the group, though. It's all of Facebook,
all
right?
All of Facebook.
Congratulations.
Although I was tempted. There was a MyVegas offer for a lot of points, and then I was like,
nah.
Eh.
When was the last time we used MyVegas points?
Exactly.
So congratulations on you doing well so far with that, and I admire you.
I don't know if it was an official resolution. It was more of a let's see how I can go, how long I can go without going on Facebook.
I admire you for that.
Oh, thanks. I feel like my life is better for it.
Yeah, it is. I assure you, it is. The I don't remember what I was going to say.
It does not spark joy. So,
on the Facebook group, there are always all these discussions about you know, different restaurants, which is great. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd love to have the discussion, but. There's a thing, and I had posted a comment the other day because someone, I can't even remember what type of food it was,
mm-hmm.
but, it's always pizza. It's always fucking pizza, isn't it? it's the framing of something as this is the best place in Vegas. It's like,
no,
you can't do that. It doesn't work. Because you have your favorite. It's an ego thing. And I'm not saying it's the ego. It's everybody has this. Everybody's mm-hmm. impulse is to say, this is the best thing. I like mm-hmm. it. And therefore, it is the best.
And you've tried to reframe that.
I try to reframe things
awards,
when I talk
especially.
About them as this is my favorite. Because people have different. You can't argue with somebody's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can tell they may have no taste.
Yeah.
Or their taste may differ from yours.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Oh, God, I'm thinking of so many examples, and I'm just not going to say them.
All kinds of them. But this impulse to label everything that you like as the best is mm-hmm. pointless. I'm tired of having the, is this the best argument, unless it's boy band members. And then I prefer right. to frame it as usefulness. sometimes I pay
Can we do Backstreet Boys and NSYNC next?
We'll save it for the after party.
Okay.
I don't even think I could name all the members of NSYNC, but I could name all the Backstreet Boys, I think, if pressed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway, we'll save that for later. So, anyway, the whole, like...
What's the best?
I'm tired of having that discussion. Okay. I'm just done with it. What's the best steakhouse in downtown? Here are five that are really good, and every fucking steakhouse discussion has the same five, so... And it's going to be six after Circa opens, probably, but... There's no such thing as the best. People like these.
Except for Tina
fucking
Turner.
Flip a coin. She
Tina
is simply
Turner
the best.
Is simply the best.
All right, so we got Project Barbecue. What am I talking about here? Circa restaurants.
You shouldn't be cranky because you were so excited when this announcement came out.
I was, and then Facebook ruined it because I had to read stupid hot takes. All right, coming up next, we have...
Do we have to have some Circa Cam therapy
after
this?
I love
this?
The Circa Cam. I love seeing progress in front of my eyes. I wish Resorts World would do the same thing, but they're... Yeah. There used to be a guy on Instagram who was working construction on Resorts World, and mm-hmm. he would occasionally post really cool construction photos,
yeah.
and he posted a while ago there was a mandate that anyone who was working on the project that posted photos would be fired.
Oh.
Fuck you, Resorts World. Let your people post some shit. They're not giving away any secrets, just showing they have a pool that's shaped like a dick.
Exactly.
All right, next up, Circa restaurants. That's what we're talking about here.
Not pools shaped like dicks.
Steakhouse. There's a steakhouse. This is not a surprise. Derek had mentioned a while ago there would be a steakhouse in the basement level of Circa. The surprise is the name and the chef. It is called Barry's Downtown Prime. It's from a chef named Barry DeCake. He is from 9 and Scotch 80 Prime at Palms. He had been there for 18 years until leaving in 2019. And maybe this is why he decided to leave. He's getting ready for a new place of his own at Circa. So the renderings of this restaurant, renderings of all of them, showed that the entrance is just below where the Vegas Vicky sign, the big neon Vegas Vicky sign, is going to be hanging. So that will be on the casino level, and this will be below it. And so based on the floor plan that I found a while ago that I had like marked up and posted on the Facebook group.
You had to immediately go back to for reference and be like, all right, this is going to be here, this is going to be here.
Yeah, well, they show in the rendering that there
are... It was so cute.
Escalators. I'm obsessed with new things. There are escalators down to the steakhouse,
mm-hmm.
and the entrance is between the escalators. So that would tell me that this will be below the lobby bar that has not yet been announced. There's like an oval-shaped lobby bar that I presume will be called Vegas Vicky's based on the trademark filing that I found. And the sign being there. Mm-hmm. It all makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep.
So anyway, that's the scoop there. So people are going to be standing in front of the Barry's entrance to have their picture taken with Vegas Vicky hanging above it all the time, no doubt. So yeah, good get as far as a chef. Nine and Scotch 80 Prime have been very popular steakhouses, and this will no doubt be an addition to downtown's lineup of quality steakhouses. I look forward to trying it. You have to have every major casino has a steakhouse, right?
Yes.
We discussed that, like, virtually all of them on the Strip do, except for maybe the Link.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly that had one, and then that was apparently not real. I haven't seen any other information about that place. We've got a burger and wing joint, Victory Burger and Wing Company. This is from the people behind American Coney.
Yes.
Chris and Grace. They own American Coney, and they're putting in a sports bar. So this will presumably be, based on the renderings and stuff, overlooking the sports book, which would be a great position for it. And there were some comments. They had comments from all the proprietors and chefs about this. And I think they said, you know, if there are sports going on at 8 a.m., this will be open at 8 a.m. So presumably whenever there's a lot of stuff going on in the sports book, you'll be able to swing by this place and get a bite to eat.
And they will not be showing Wham and Janet Jackson videos?
I would imagine they will be showing sporting events. They've got a lot of TVs in there, just like any good sports bar. I look forward to seeing what they come up with and giving it a shot. I was thinking about that. I look forward to trying all of these places.
Oh, yeah.
All of them sounded delicious to me. Next up, from Dan Coughlin, who's the chef behind Latai and Bocho, the sushi restaurant near Fremont East, we've got 8 East, named, of course, after the address of Fremont, of Circa, 8 Fremont. So this is a Pan-Asian restaurant. It's going to incorporate Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, Korean, and Thai.
Yes. Yes.
I like all those things.
Get in my face. Yes.
In the comments, Dan said, you know, there's some things that he's been wanting to do that really didn't fit in with his current restaurant concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a sushi kind of thing. Not necessarily Thai, but some things he really likes doing.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got a home for them too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people behind Bin 702 in the Container Park are involved in this too, as far as the beverage program at 8 East. So I'd imagine they'll have a good wine selection as well.
Yep.
Finally, we have a 24-hour restaurant called Saginaw Delicatessen. This is going to be traditional deli sandwiches. I hope they don't make them like... I've bitched about deli sandwiches before.
About all the meat?
I love having a good meaty sandwich, but it needs to fit in my goddamn mouth. So let's make it like, you know, like a good... I want to say not bulky, like a substantial sandwich, but not ridiculous, so it's a pain in the ass to eat. That's not that hard to do.
Not like 4 sandwiches worth of meat on one sandwich.
No, you don't need that much.
Yeah.
But so anyway, deli sandwiches, soup, salads, all the things you would expect at a traditional deli.
Also.
They will also have breakfast.
I
believe pancakes were mentioned.
Would like to try those.
I hope they're good. They will also be serving the traditional Golden Gate shrimp cocktail at Saginaw Delicatessen.
Yay.
I look forward to people bitching because it's not a dollar anymore.
If you want to spend a dollar on a shrimp cocktail, go have the Sea Monkeys in Fremont.
Yes.
You'll get what you pay for.
So pretty good mix of restaurants for downtown. I mean, it's not anything that's like crazy unexpected, but it's a good lineup.
I feel like it's a good solid lineup and it meets a lot of needs.
It meets a lot of needs and it's on point for the downtown market.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And they've got some good people behind them.
Oh, yeah.
Like dependable names and some recognizable stuff. So, yeah, this should be some good stuff worth trying. Of course, we have plenty of announcements to come as Circa construction continues. We haven't seen what the rooms are going to look like or what the suites are going to look like or how many different room types there will be. We haven't had an official announcement about the bars. There was a discrepancy in my mind with the count of the bars in the last, when they had the halfway point press event.
Uh-huh.
I think there was something there where they said there'd be 4 bars, but I count more.
Really? And you're giving hope to...
Well, Girth Bar, of course, is the super secret bar that won't be announced until the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And cold pizza will be served there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that wasn't announced with the restaurant lineup. But no, so we got the outdoor bar on Fremont Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be obviously a big, you know, thing near Project Barbecue. From the renderings, we've seen the longish bar.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it might be, I'm guessing, Long Bar at Circa, but who knows? It's because it's longer than Long Bar. So you got that. That's the casino bar.
Yep.
You've got the oval lobby bar that I believe will be called Vegas Vicky's. You've got your rooftop bar, which has been mentioned, but you know we don't know what it's going to be called for sure, what it's going to look like. And then I'm pretty sure there will be a sports bar. There's got to be a sports
bar.
Pool bar. So I don't know. Maybe the count was five, but I've got to think. Anyway, that's at least six right there. These are important details, so I look forward to the official announcements or the official, you know, additional word. And then, of course, we've got registration details, room registration when that, I think I saw some reference that that might be opening up as soon as April. So we'll see what the opening date is and all those things. The outrage I'm expecting when the registration opens and people can't get a room for $50.
Oh, God.
It's going to be fucking hilarious.
Go stay at the Apache at Binion's and go have your fucking sea monkey shrimp cocktail at Fremont.
Supply and demand. If you're, when you learn what the room rates are and you're like, and you gasp, I don't know if it's going to be gasp worthy, but it's going to be higher than a lot of people expect.
Oh, yeah.
Just Google supply and demand and it'll give you a fundamental explanation of rates. And how that works. It's pretty basic stuff. But there's a limited number of rooms there. The demand's going to be high for quite a while.
Yeah.
And thus, you price it as such. That's just how it works. It's the nature of business.
I wonder how this is going to affect other room rates downtown.
Especially
Golden Nugget and Downtown Grand. Because Downtown Grand's going to have
be opening,
some new room product soon.
And how will the new Downtown Grand rooms affect the older Downtown Grand room pricing? I look forward to seeing all that, too. But traditionally, things just, there's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And some things might drop in price as a result of this, because this is the new high end.
Right. So even though you might gasp at the prices at Circa, you might be like, hey, rooms at this property are a lot lower now, so I will stay there.
Yeah. Things might
drop a little bit. There's a lining.
If you're put off by.
Yeah. A silver lining to that cloud.
But the real, and you know, whenever there are new places built, there's always like, why does everything have to be high end? Well, you can't, the economics of building an.
Why would you build something new and make it shitty unless you're Binion's and the Apache?
Not even shitty, but the economics of building a new casino, a new resort, and having it not be high end, it doesn't really work. You can't, not in Vegas where real estate prices are expensive and stuff, especially on the strip. Downtown, maybe, kind of, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Just business stuff. Anyway.
And I feel like I'm pooping on Apache a lot. If you want to stay there,
you should.
Fine.
It's fucking ridiculous.
But not for me.
All right. Shall we move on?
Okay.
We need to relive our trip because that'll put me back in Happy Land again.
I hope so.
Before that, let's do this. Do you
remember? I don't remember fucking anything, man.
We're going back to January 2012. It was show number 332, and this was when MGM Grand announced the closing of its free lion exhibit. Remember the lions at MGM Grand?
I do remember the lions.
First several trips of to Las Vegas, that was a must visit for us. I think for a lot of people. But they announced in 2012 they were getting rid of it. I had and continue to have mixed feelings about that. Because I did like, who doesn't love seeing a big lion? But then I also feel bad. I'm not a big fan of zoos. I don't like enclosed animals very much.
I have mixed feelings because I feel like zoos do a lot of conservation work and a lot of awareness.
Yeah, I guess.
And sometimes it's the only place those animals can reproduce safely.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I have mixed feelings about that. And the other thing,
in the ideal world, everything would be wandering free.
No, that's not realistic. Oh my God, next door.
Oh.
The biggest issue on next door in our particular area in the last year has been the influx of deer in our little piece of suburbia. And the battle between, we need to do something about all these deer, and I love seeing the deer. How dare you mess with wildlife?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yes.
It is delightful to watch. Until you almost hit a fucking deer, and then you're like, yeah, fucking kill them.
Humanely.
I don't know. They're getting rid of most of them. They have to. There's not enough. they're going to all starve if they don't.
Exactly. And would you rather?
Anyway, we don't need to talk about fucking deer. There's no deer in Las Vegas. Anyway, so now some people, there are deer. If you go out to the fucking. Okay. Right next to the
point where the creek begins that start. Fuck you.
Okay. MGM.
Right outside the Ethel M. Gardens.
What are we talking about? MGM Grand. They closed their line exhibit. So it was the downside was they were getting rid of kind of a cool free attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other side is, you know, when they set the lions free on the strip, oh, that was badass. Just let them run. They're like, all right, we're done with this. They open up the doors of the casino and just let them run. That was a memorable day. Too bad it wasn't the YouTube era because, man, I'd love to see video of that. So that was 2012.
Was it at the same time Studio 54 was letting out?
Who would know the difference, right? Yes. Yeah, so there you go. That was 2012. We have a lot of trip stuff we're going to talk about this show.
Okay.
Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
Relive some of the fun?
Yeah.
People like our reviews when we travel to the promised land. Mm-hmm. All right, let's start with our room. We stayed at Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas.
Not to cry.
It's one of our favorite places to stay, and usually when we stay on the Strip, most of the time that's where we end up.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we booked four nights. We had comp nights as a result of some room offers and my my identity card level, which is no longer going to be gold soon, but took advantage of the free nights from that and a comp offer and got it. So we had four nights booked, and we went in with a goal.
Yep.
And that was to stay in one of the rooms we had not previously stayed in, mm-hmm. one of the room types. So we had already stayed in the one bedroom terrace. We'd stayed in the terrace. What the fuck is that thing called? The one that's just like a one, well, it's priced the same as a
studio?
One. Studio? A terrace studio.
Yeah.
We've stayed in the terrace suite. We've stayed in the wraparound suite. And then, of course, we had the bungalow for our big anniversary trip a mm-hmm. couple years ago. So that leaves very little. And
we have no interest in staying in rooms without a terrace.
Not going to stay in the city room. Not going to stay in the executive room.
We'd love to stay in the penthouse, but our gambling budget is not that high.
Yeah, the penthouse is never going to happen. So the one thing that we had not stayed in yet was the lanai suite. And those are accessible. We've had friends who have stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, okay, let's go for a lanai suite at check-in. And I'd been keeping an eye on the website. This is a little tip for those of you who are interested in upgrades. Keep an eye on the website so you know what's available when you're going in and mm-hmm. for the whole duration of your stay. If you see that something is blocked out that's not available, you're not going to get an upgrade, whether mm-hmm. it's paid or free.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps when you go in to know what you're hoping to achieve, whether it is free or paid. I had no... I had no aspirations of getting this free.
No.
We've had Cosmo rooms before. We're at check-in. We mention an upgrade and they tell us what the rates are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem paying for it if it's reasonable, especially since we weren't paying anything going in.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, okay, if they offer us a reasonable rate, we'll take it. So we went in and I said, hey, what would it take to upgrade to a lanai suite? And she said, hold on a minute. And she picks up the phone and made a phone call. A lot of times they just pull up a screen.
Yeah.
But there's a very limited number of lanai suites, maybe a dozen of them.
Yeah.
So she had to place a phone call and checked on it. And she said, I can give it to you for $150. And I'm like, yes, I will pay $150 a night for the lanai. We wanted to stay here. And it's for the good of the podcast so we can review it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. Our love of you guys and being able to tell you about these magical things in Las Vegas. It's not for us.
Oh no.
We had to struggle through it just to tolerate it.
Oh my gosh. It was quite the hardship.
So that is how it worked. Now I knew going in too that if the lanai fell through, the wraparound was not going to be an option because mm-hmm. there were both on the fountain view and the non-fountain view. There were a few dates blocked off. I think the trailing of CES, there were still people who had those blocked off from mm-hmm. CES. So anyway, it didn't matter. I didn't have to go after anything as a second choice because we got our lanai.
Yay.
I was very happy.
Yes.
So these rooms are all on the 14th floor of the Chelsea Tower, which isn't really the 14th floor. 5th or 6th, I think.
Something like that.
Because the elevator goes 4 and then 14.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's really any. And it goes up very quickly. I don't think there's really anything in between. But mm-hmm. that's Vegas floor numbers. You know how it is.
Yep. And it's on the same level as the Chelsea pool and the spa and the fitness center, which you used religiously.
Yes, we walked past it many times. So our room was 1444, also labeled as Lanai Suite 10. These rooms do not have terraces.
No.
Because they are on the same level as the pool and mm-hmm. they open up to the pools, to the Chelsea pool, there would not be a terrace, but there's another feature that we'll talk about in a minute that replaces the terrace. Mm-hmm. So on the first level, when you walk in, there is a small bathroom, and there's a bathroom and then the living space, which includes a wet bar, dining room, living room, and then that then there's a sliding door that opens up, and there is a semi-private, and I'll tell you in a few minutes why it's semi-private, semi-private patio, and that's right next to the Chelsea pool, which used to be called the Bamboo Pool. That is the less oonsy of the Cosmo pools.
Mm-hmm.
So there was music playing there when we were hanging out, and but it wasn't, you couldn't hear it inside. It wasn't disruptive.
Yeah.
And the other pool, in fact, the Boulevard Pool, was undergoing construction. They were removing the skating rink from that at the time. But the Chelsea pool was open.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that came up recently on the Facebook group, too. There seems to be a surprise. A lot of people don't realize that there are quite a few pools that are open year-round in Vegas. It's not that big of a rarity. You can do a search. You'll find lists of them. I posted a link on the Facebook group when it came up. But, yeah, there are a bunch of heated pools that are open all the time. And there are some a few people swimming. There are a bunch of people in the hot tub. So yeah, it was open during the day. Now the whole pool area wasn't, even though there were lifeguards and the pool was open and stuff, like the two bars up there were not open.
Mm-hmm.
So it was limited in terms of what was open, but yes, it was available. On that, semi-private patio area that we had, there was a nice seating area, which I used often.
Yes. And then there just was sit out there and relax.
And relax and look up and look at the lights on Aria and Veer and Vidara and Cosmo. And then there
Speaking of water.
A nice, sedate pools. There's a nice little two-person hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily there were two people there.
Mm-hmm.
And we used it a lot.
Oh my God, did we ever.
The temperatures when we were there, we usually don't like to talk to weather, but it's pertinent to this part of our trip.
Mm-hmm.
The weather typically ranged from like the low to mid-30s in the morning to usually high 50s. And the hot tub was lovely in those temperatures.
It was perfect. Because it was like, there was just enough of a little chill in the air, and then you'd get into the hot tub, and it would just feel like this warm embrace.
It was delightful. We spent a lot of time using the hot tub.
Oh, yeah, we
did. We had brought our swimsuits, like, because this was our goal. We're going to have this fucking room with a hot tub. And it worked out great. And in fact, the first morning, I woke up ridiculously early, which I don't tend to do as much as I used to in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But I woke up at, what, 4:30 or something?
Like that,
couldn't fall back to sleep. And I'm like, okay.
Well, there's a hot tub downstairs.
There's something to do other than go lose money. So I went and sat in the hot tub for an hour, and that was the chilliest of the mornings, or I guess probably because I was up at 4:30.
Yeah.
It was so awesome having steam rise off that.
Oh,
I was so relaxed
yeah.
and comfortable, and I'd been having back trouble, so I had the jets pounding on my back, which felt great.
Mm-hmm. What else were they pounding on?
It was blowing air up my shorts. It made it look like my balls were all inflated, which was really funny. That was comical.
And then the air would get inside my suit, too, and then I'd have a little
We're getting way too in. So the hot tub was great. In fact, I've decided for Cosmo rooms, my preference would be in the winter to have the hot tub, Devil and I, and in the warmer months
To have the terrace.
Because I love sitting out on the... I wouldn't have spent nearly as much time on the terrace as I spent outside in our hot tub and on the patio.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Upstairs, there's a second floor, so there's a winding staircase.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... I don't want to say spiral staircase, because that sounds like it's more of a, like a...
Yeah.
Pasta spiral kind of shape. Mm-hmm. This is not that spirally.
But there
a
are
winding,
turns to it.
Yes. A winding staircase up to the bedroom, and the larger bathroom is also up there.
Mm-hmm.
Our room was a little quirky because it was wheelchair accessible.
Mm-hmm.
We've had wheelchair accessible rooms, and there are always some things that are different than the normal rooms in order to make them useful to folks who are in wheelchairs.
Yep.
This one, there are a couple things. And at first when we saw the small bathroom right when you walk in on the first level, the shower wasn't very big to begin with, but then they had
tiny.
They had a bench.
Yeah.
And the bench took up like 2/3 of the shower.
Mm-hmm.
This serves no purpose. But then I realized the bench folded up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up using that shower whenever I came in from the hot tub. So it worked out just fine. So there was that. The bathroom upstairs had an unusual layout as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I confirmed with some YouTube videos of other Lanai suite rooms.
Yeah.
The room where the toilet was is normally the shower,
mm-hmm.
So when you go in to use the toilet, you're in a completely like glassed in, just part of the window is frosted around the middle, but it's very public, not public, public, but to whoever you're staying with. Mm-hmm.
You might want to have a good relationship with that person.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a little weird having, and then the shower was much smaller, and that's where the toilet normally, normally is in a standard lanai suite. Those things were a little odd, and then the closet, the bar was down low instead of up high, and the shelf was in the middle, and there was a lot of wasted space above that. But
not wasted if you need access to those things.
No, of course. Yeah. There was an elevator in our room, but it was locked. Mm-hmm. There was a door on each level, and it would have been really cool if it hadn't been locked.
Oh, I know.
But it was locked, so we couldn't use the elevator. That would have been a first for sure in Las Vegas.
That would have been cool.
So that was our room. I did shoot a video tour of that. I shot a walkthrough of the Chelsea pool. Oh, you could access the pool from the patio. Mm-hmm. But the problem is you can only access it going out and not coming in. So that was something that we learned.
The other thing about the hot tub, it was private, but not totally private. Oh,
that's
private.
Right. The semi-private part of it. Yeah. So it's like fence. There's a tall fence-like structure blocking you
off.
And
then there's some greenery between that structure
and the pool
and
area.
The pool.
And
but even there was a sidewalk that maintenance workers were using.
Yeah, and if it were to be busy and people were going to the pool from their lanai suites, they'd be walking past.
Yeah.
And they'd be able to.
And they might overhear me saying how relaxing the jets were, or that they were giving my boobs a massage.
The maintenance guys probably heard some fun things while they were walking by. But yeah, even if the pool were in full swing, between that, the barrier, and then there were cabanas as well.
Yeah.
And then the pool. So there wouldn't have been a direct view. Like the view from upstairs in the lanai suite we had of the pool was minimal. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that great of a view. Didn't care. But
hot tub.
Overall, what were your impressions like?
Hot tub.
Other than the hot tub, what'd you think about the room?
I liked it. There were a few things that I would change as far as like all the controls took a little while to get used to. Like you'd have the welcome and goodbye, but it didn't always turn everything on and off.
Oh yeah. I do have to give them credit. They did have the lights. There's a lot of light switches and curtain switches and stuff.
But it was pretty intuitive.
They were labeled well. Yeah. They were labeled well. But yeah, some of the stuff you couldn't control from both floors.
Right.
I think you might have on the iPad thing that they had their tablets on both floors. And that was another thing, too. There were speakers. Only one of our speakers was working, but there were speakers outside on the patio, and I figured out how to stream from Bluetooth on my phone to the patio outside so we could listen to whatever we wanted to, which was great. Or you could, like, during the football game, the room next to us, they had the football game audio cranked up, and we could hear that. That was fine.
Yeah. You mean we could hear the Vikings losing?
Was it the Vikings game?
Was it when we arrived?
I don't remember. Yeah. So anyway, thumbs up on the lanai if you can get a rate you're comfortable with on it.
The lighting in the bathroom was a little weird.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And I'm not sure if that was because it was designed for wheelchair accessible people and that it was hitting me at the wrong angle.
Oh, I don't know.
But yeah, the lighting could have been a little better, but bath products were wonderful. The layout was really good. Bed was very comfortable. They gave us a lot of pillows. We didn't even have to call down and ask for pillows.
Well.
And like you said, you couldn't really hear, even though there was music outside, you couldn't hear it.
In fact, and even when we were in the hot tub, it wasn't objectionable music.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything I really recognized or knew. A couple of the songs I did, but it wasn't disruptive like some, I don't know. It just, it was fine. It was fine background music when we weren't listening to our own thing.
Yeah.
And that ended by like 5 every day anyway. So if we were out there early in the morning or at night, it wasn't even on.
So you could provide your own soundtrack.
It was as relaxing of a Las Vegas trip as we've ever had.
Yep.
Which was nice.
Yes, it really was.
We still got in plenty of gambling and plenty of fun and all that stuff, but it was really, really fun to have that hot tub.
Oh my gosh. I've been spending so much time at this video poker machine. It's been such a hard day. Let's go relax in the hot tub.
Yep. It's a good way to celebrate a good video poker run, and it's also a good way to comfort yourself when you've had a bad video poker run.
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent. Yeah. I think there was one day, I think the maximum was one day I was in it 4 times.
Yeah. I think I was in at 3.
And probably for 45 minutes to an hour a pop.
Oh, yeah.
So to the people who say, why would you pay for a room? You don't spend any time in it.
That's why.
Spend enough time in that one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was worth it.
Oh, definitely.
So it was just relaxing and enjoyable mm-hmm. and... Yeah.
Would I get a hot tub at home? No, I don't want the maintenance.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with it.
But it was
a nice vacation.
Yeah, amenity.
Amenity to have. So yeah, for a winter trip staying at Cosmo, I would do it again. Oh, or winter or fall.
Absolutely.
The warmer months, like I said, I'm going to still want one of those terraces.
I think part of the appeal of the hot tub in the winter months too is you didn't get so ridiculously hot.
Yeah. I wouldn't want one in the summer there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use it that much.
Because it was such a nice contrast between the cool air and then the hot water. And yeah, yep. Like the temperature was just perfect. It was wonderful.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
For comparison, so we paid $150 a night for the room. Mm-hmm. For comparison, the pricing on the room standard on the website that week, it was the first night, which was a Sunday, was $1,000. And I think the other three nights were $500.
Okay.
At least the second one was $500. And then I think the others were... They were up there. They might have been a little less than that for the mm-hmm. weeknights. But so that's what the room typically goes for.
Okay.
In case you're wondering. Maybe even more. I mean, we were there during a relatively slow week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there are weeks where it goes for much more if the demand is higher. Again, yeah. Supply and demand, that's what determines all this stuff. So yeah, we were lucky to get the room we wanted. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. We'd do it again. No regrets.
Absolutely.
All right. So since we're talking about Cosmo, let's talk about a couple other things there. They recently refreshed the Vesper Bar space, and we got a chance to try it out. We hadn't been there in a while. It hasn't changed radically as far as the concept. That's still the same thing. It's a great mixology bar.
Mm-hmm.
The stools are indeed far more comfortable.
Yes.
As our friend Miss Nomer says, they are, I'm going to stumble over it, but he has said that the new stools are suitable for Midwest travelers. They are not tiny little space age Jetson stools, but rather good for those of us who are sizable
people who live life to the fullest.
That's right. So very comfortable. We sat there for quite a while. We had a couple rounds of drinks. A great bartender.
Oh, she was wonderful.
As with any mixology bar, Vesper excels when it's not super busy and you have the attention of your bartender
and they have the time to make a quality drink.
What was her name? Do you remember?
Jennifer?
Jennifer. Okay, that's what I thought. I wanted to make sure I got it right. She was lovely.
Oh, she was great. She works the day shift.
Yeah, and there weren't many people there when we were there. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we had her full attention. She was making drinks to our flavor palette.
Profile,
she was asking
yeah.
those questions. What do you like? What you don't? What do you not like? Mm-hmm. And made things based on that rather than necessarily off the menu, although the menu is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
She was eager to share her knowledge with us. Like, I noticed a new type or an unrecognizable type of ginger beer that she mm-hmm. was using. And I said, oh, I haven't seen that one. She poured us each a shot of the ginger beer to try that
mm-hmm.
Just on its own.
Yeah.
And was talking about it, that it was relatively new, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And then.
And she had used it in
one
my
of
drink.
My, I think yeah. in one of mine too. And then she was making drinks for somebody else and she was using maraschino cherries. She said,
yes.
Oh, have you tried these? I'm like, no. And just, so she gave us each one of those. They're super expensive mm-hmm. maraschino cherries they use there. It was really fun to have. I've always loved that about the Cosmo bars where when you have a personable bartender
mm-hmm.
and they're eager to like, oh, have you heard of this? Have you tried this?
Yeah.
They'll show you the bottle. They'll, you know, they want to talk to you about mm-hmm. it. It's fun being around people who have
yeah.
a passion for something
yes.
and are eager to tell you about it. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of forgot how much I love that bar.
I know.
So I look forward to spending some additional time there during future trips as mm-hmm. well. They've upped the James Bond theme with the new design. They have a wall that is at least mostly, I think entirely James Bond related photos, at least from a distance. I didn't go close,
yeah.
look closely, but it looks like all this James Bond stuff. But it's still a nice, comfortable lobby bar. I think they've added some seating. They've done a good job with it. So mm-hmm. thumbs up to that. Happy that they... I was worried when they closed it, you know, that they might decide, oh, we're going to put in a more traditional lobby bar.
Yeah.
No, they've got something special there, and I'm glad mm-hmm. they've kept it. So that's good. The other Cosmo bar that we had not ever tried before that we did was Barbershop Cuts and Cocktails. This is the pseudo speakeasy right near the strip entrance. And since we were dressed up after Mayfair, well, mm-hmm. not totally dressed up, we were dressy enough.
Yeah.
I was wearing nicer shoes than normal, let's put it that way, and I wasn't wearing jeans. So I said, hey, let's go to barbershop since we've never been in there and they have a dress code.
Yep.
There was not a line when we got there. So you go through the barbershop and they have you stand in a janitor's closet. There's like a wash sink in there and stuff, and you have to wait there a second.
Yep.
And then they open up a door that goes into the bar. So that's the whole shtick.
Yeah. You don't have to go out that way. You go out.
You go out a different.
Yeah.
There's a fake restroom door or something.
It's a real restroom door because that's where the restrooms
were. Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So don't get lost.
On the way out.
On the way back from the restroom.
So we went there. There was not music. There wasn't live music that night. They do have like karaoke and they've got live bands once in a while.
Yeah, they've got a stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had one round in there and the drinks were fine.
Mm-hmm. It was okay.
I don't see the need for it to try to be a... I don't know why they need a dress code.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything that special that would require that. It's not... I know they're trying to make it something, but like when we were in there, it was dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that it's busy later on or when they have live acts and stuff like that, but they specialize in whiskey. So if you're looking for a rare whiskey, they may have it. They have a good whiskey menu. But as far as like the bar itself, it's not anything... that great. It's fine, but I wouldn't go out of my way to go there again, and I certainly wouldn't put on different shoes just to go there. I wasn't in any there. I didn't feel like sticking around. We had our drink and let's get out of here. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't anything special. And the speakeasy thing isn't. It's
not that novel anymore.
It's not that novel, and it's like, well, everybody knows it's there. It's in your fucking name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not. I don't know. It's just a played out concept.
Yeah.
So I'm not that big on barbershop. It's a fine bar, but nothing worth going through any. If there was a line there to get in, I'd be like, fuck this shit. I'll just go over to the sports book and have a couple drinks. So I don't know. Did you think otherwise or am I wrong on this? Is there something you loved about it?
I didn't love it. It was fine, but there was nothing like exceptional to make me go back like Vesper.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, I did not have an exceptional experience. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It was just fine.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
No. Just nothing that...
Yeah.
Nothing that made me go, oh, I have to come back here next time. Which leads in nicely to our next review from Cosmo. We had a meal at one of the restaurants at District 16 Food Hall that we had not yet visited, and that is called Pock Pock Wing. Did I get what you had on here? Did I get that right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. I was looking at the menu and that I thought that was what you had. Mm-hmm. I was a little out of it at the time. I had the Ike's Famous Vietnamese Chicken Wings, which is their signature item. Mm-hmm. It's $15. Pretty good helping of wings for $15. You had the Jupa Bao.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fried pork loin sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
That was cheap. It was only $6.
Yeah.
Was it small?
There wasn't a lot to it. It was basically... the pork loin and some bread.
Yeah, it said on the description, like unadorned or something like that. There's not much.
And it had the bone in.
Oh, yes. It was a bone in sandwich, which is weird for a sandwich. Why would you want a bone in sandwich?
Some people like the bone in sandwich.
I know, but as far as eating a sandwich, that's not convenient.
Yeah.
When you're biting into a sandwich, you don't want to have to feel around with your teeth for the bone. And you don't want to bite in, then I don't understand why would you... That's a dumb idea for a sandwich.
I don't know.
I'm down on this. But it was your just choice, not mine.
And it was okay. It was filling, but again, kind of like barbershop, it was fine.
That's
it
how I would describe mine too.
It was just...
Yeah, it was fine.
It was okay.
I would have it again, but I wouldn't go out of my way for it. It's nothing where I'm like, I have to come back next time.
Did you think there was a weird smell?
Not that I noticed, but I was pretty plastered at the time.
Yeah, you were. It was funny.
Was that the first time we got, right when we got there? Like the first day?
Yeah, that was the first day. Yeah.
My tolerance is super low. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. I hadn't been drinking a lot between, like, even since the summit, and my tolerance was really low. I had like 2 vodka sodas and was plowed.
Yeah.
So, so I was feeling it. And the wings were perfectly good. They were spicy and delicious. Mm-hmm. They were very messy. I mean, just sticky. But that's how wings are.
Yeah, yeah.
They were good.
I had a Thai tea. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
I always get that when I'm at La Thai, so.
So yes, I would say that would be the review. It was decent, but not a...
But not spectacular.
...place I must return. If I were to walk past the food hall again and choose one of the restaurants of those we've been to, we've only been to a couple. I'd go to Lardo.
Oh,
I'd go
absolutely.
To the sandwich place.
Yeah.
I also want to try Hattie B's still. I haven't been
too.
There. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's decent. If you're craving some wings, it's fine. But, it was okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? So what was the smell? I didn't notice any smell.
I just remember a couple women walking by us.
It was them.
And commenting. That could be.
No, I didn't notice anything objectionable. All right. Another Cosmo item. And we've reviewed this before, but I have flip-flopped in this place so many times, and I have once again, and that is called The Henry. It is their 24-hour restaurant. And we ended up going there, I think, was this on Sunday night?
Yes.
We went
yes.
there at a time when everything else was busy, and this was not, which tells you all you need to know about The Henry. Now, they're busy.
No, it was Saturday night.
Saturday. Oh, did we get there Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Saturday to Wednesday was when we were there.
Yep, because we went to Hugo's on Sunday.
So, yeah, Saturday night, everything was busy when we were hungry, and The Henry was not busy, so... We didn't want to wander around trying to find something else. And we're like, yeah, we've had it before. It's okay.
It'll fill the need.
And that's just it. It'll fill the need. But
it won't do a whole lot beyond that.
Last time we ate there, I was like, you know what? This is a decent restaurant. I'm glad we came here. And this time I was like, you know, this restaurant is substandard.
Oh.
That was my feeling on it. And I don't know.
Here was your summary. Because I took notes as you were
Yeah, tell speaking. Me. Tell me what I was bitching about at the time.
They were trying too hard on some things
yes.
and not enough on others.
Yes. Yes, that's true. So, for example, the thing that they didn't try hard on at all
mm-hmm.
is, and we had breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
So I had an omelet and you had like what, the eggs and bacon and...
You had the eggs and bacon and I had the omelet because you had the eggs and bacon thing because it came with sausage and you wanted to see if it was served in links or as a patty.
Oh, that's right. Sometimes I'm just curious what the sausage is going to consist of. It's kind of like breakfast potatoes. It's a little bit of a mystery if it doesn't say on the menu.
Yep,
it was
and you a wanted link. A surprise.
The sausage was good, but the potatoes.
Oh, the potatoes were not good.
And I've gone off on breakfast potatoes many for. This is just like mini potatoes.
Little round.
Not cut up. And they were lightly seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
Eh.
You
put some effort into it.
You described them as earthy.
They were earthy. They tasted like dirt. Not what I'm looking for in a breakfast potato.
You also said that the multigrain bread used the wrong grains.
I like that. I don't remember saying that, but it does sound like something I would say. I don't remember what my problem with that was, but apparently the toast wasn't that great either.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the beignets?
No.
Oh, okay. So I ordered some beignets.
Did I have one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember those.
Boy. And they came out, and there was... a tiny bit of presentation to it where they had a paper sack and they shook them to coat them with powdered sugar.
That's not necessary.
That's what you said at the time.
Did I say it while the waiter was shaking them up?
No, you said it as he was walking away.
Get on with it, Pepe. I want to have some of these donuts.
And they were served on a butcher block.
Can we just stop with the fucking tableside presentation? Unless you're setting... I've said it before, I'll say it again. Unless you're setting it on fire or... making it to my particular specifications.
Like a salad.
And it's more than...
It's more than three
ingredients. So that eliminates mashing the guac at the table and asking me if I want more lemon juice. The tableside preparation, it's not... It doesn't add anything to the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's something that's cool to see prepared tableside. This is not it. Shaking up a bag of sugar... How far are we going to take this stupid concept? Come back in the kitchen with me and watch while I throw your fucking meat in the oven. I don't get this. So anyway, I'm down on the Henry. I think it's not as casino coffee shops go. It's not great. It's okay. It's serviceable.
Okay.
It's the place you... This is my review. This is what I would put on the outside of the menu. This is a quote from 500 Productions. Your testimonial. It's the place you settle for when the place you'd rather be is busy and you don't want to wait. That's how I feel about the Henry.
Yep. Yeah, because we were happy to go other places, but everything was...
Yeah, yeah. We were hungry. We wanted food. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely settling.
Yeah. We did have good experiences we had at Holstein's. That was delicious.
Yeah. Yep.
We ordered too much food, but
yeah,
it was all good.
And it was fast.
Yeah. Oh, it was super fast.
So something else I wanted to review, since we're talking about breakfast, and I had been there before and I had reviewed it before, but you had not, and that was the breakfast at PBR Rock Bar at Planet Hollywood, right across the street from Cosmo. This is a relatively cheap breakfast option that sort of gets overlooked because it's not necessarily as super cheap as Blondie's and whatever, Ocean One or whatever the other place. Yeah. There's some places back in the Miracle Mile shops. This is also Miracle Mile, but it's right next to the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a small, what, maybe 10 items or something for breakfast on their menu, but a decent little variety.
Mm-hmm.
The items are all between $5 and $10.
Yep.
So you can get your basic breakfast, which is, you know, a couple eggs and meat and toast, breakfast potatoes, whatever it is, $5. And of course, they always get you on the beverages.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, double whatever, because it's going to be another $4 for whatever your, $4 or $5 for whatever
your orange juice or
coffee
Diet
or
Pepsi
whatever.
Or whatever, yeah.
But you had not been there before.
I had not. For breakfast.
For breakfast.
We went there for lunch one time, but I was hungover, so it really didn't count.
Yeah. What did you think as far as a breakfast
the
option?
The food was really good. We ended up going there a second time.
It was quick. It was dependable.
Yep.
As it was the times I had been there before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice little option.
I had a breakfast burrito both times. It was delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're looking for a relatively decent value that's without having to trek very far off the Strip and you're staying in that area.
Reasonably priced, quick service, friendly service.
Really good option. Yep. The only downside is there's some questionable music playing often.
Oh my God, is there ever.
If you're a fan of country music, you might like it. Although I was in there one time and they were playing rock instead. So it varies
the
a little bit.
The first time it was all country. The second time they threw some Bon Jovi and Bryan Adams in.
Okay. Yeah. It was amusing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a nice little place. I like having breakfast there once in a while.
I had a good time analyzing the lyrics.
So there you go. Even if it's not your music, you can break down the songs about trucks and
living in a small town.
Whatever else they were talking about. Let's see. Should we?
Oh, okay. You don't have this in the show notes, but I mentioned it both times we went back and forth from Planet Hollywood to Cosmo. And is that? The refreshing thing about Cosmo is they don't have timeshare people, and
that's
I really enjoy that. they don't.
That's true, they don't, because Planet Hollywood still does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice not being badgered.
Yeah.
I think we're going to save the rest of our stuff, because we're already an hour in.
Okay, I was thinking, this show just feels like it's starting to run a little long.
Yeah, so we've got a few more reviews and anecdotes, and then we've got some phone calls to get caught up on next week, and we will do that.
Yep.
In the meantime, we have a couple karma donations to thank our beloved listeners for, including Jennifer, a karma donation for a trip happening this weekend. She said, this year started out pretty rough, but I think a trip to Vegas is just what I need to turn my luck around.
Oh, I hope you have lots of luck.
Yeah, I hope you have a great time, and I hope it's just like makes it, I hope it turns your year around, and this is the start of a really great 2020 for you. So have a great time. Carl in Indy, great guy, longtime listener. We met him. We've met him a couple times, I think, haven't we? I know he was at the summit. Very, very nice guy. He said, just wanted to send a karma donation ahead of my upcoming Vegas trip. Heading out Friday for 5 nights at Cosmo, and it'll be my first Super Bowl trip. Looking forward to plenty of quality time playing video poker at the sports book bar and chandelier and taking in the atmosphere in Vegas during the Super Bowl. I'm curious to get your impressions of that. I'd love to hear... you know, if it was like just madness, if you liked the nuttiness of it, or if it was too much, or what you thought. I'm always curious about those busy weekends and how they affect people. We've kind of had it with a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And yet, there's no place better to be during a big game than in a sports book.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't mind watching the Super Bowl in a sports book. That's for sure. I'm sure it'll be a great time. So thanks for that, and have a wonderful time. Enjoy your trip.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Janelle with a karma donation she made from the airport said she almost forgot. Well, hope you have a wonderful trip, and thank you very much for thinking of us, Janelle.
Yes, thank you.
Hope you kick some ass, win some money, have a relaxing time, all that.
Yes.
All right.
Thank
we got
you.
A lot in.
All of you have a wonderful time.
All right. We'll finish up with some more trip reports next week. It's going to be great.
Can I tell you my only regret of the trip?
You have a regret of the trip?
Yeah.
What would that be?
That we didn't get there early enough to bet on San Francisco.
I know.
Oh.
I know. We got in, like, our plane was landing right before the Vikings game started, and by the time we got checked in and stuff, it had already started. So we could have done some in-game betting, I suppose, but I didn't have any money in the app, and it would have been...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would have been our only winning football bet.
That's true. We placed a couple others, and it did not go well.
Ew.
Boo.
But that was as close to a sure thing as you were going to get.
It always is when you bet against the Vikings in the playoffs. All right, 500bymidnight.com.
I just had to.
Got to rub it in. Poor Vikings fans. Give it up. They're never going to do it. 500bymidnight.com is the website. 500gmail.com is the email address. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, that voicemail line, 702-866-9494. I promise you we're going to get caught up on the voicemail soon. Please continue to call with your reviews and reports. We do love them. We covered a lot of ground. I'm feeling great. It was fun to talk about all that stuff.
Yes.
All right. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. And we will be back soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.